Blog Talk Radio.
Disobedience, we bear the shame, we bear the shame. been asleep for so long. We can't tell which way we going, right or wrong. Pouring to the sun, got in the churches on the first day. Calling on Jesus who threw the law away. This led to 400 years of oppression and depression. Should we by now have learned our lesson? Shackles are off, but our mind's in a deceptive state. What do you think is gonna be our end state? Delay?
How to reach my family? How to reach the seed of Yisrael? Open up the scriptures, prophecy is written freely, giving children read. 28 Deuteronomy 15, 68 proclaimed. If we disobey the wrote the covenant, that we would badly ashamed. 400 years and a land that is not ours. 400 years of disobedience and having no power. 400 years of oppression bound in chains. 400 years of disobeying. We lost his name. 400 years. 400 years, we've been the tail and not the head, the scripture says. 400 years in a land that is not ours. 400 years, I guess I am. Bound in chains. 400 years of disobeying.
We blind up in Babylon, Haitians getting whipped on. Still practice voodoo while we sing that Obama song. Before we arrive to the kingdom, must come out of her. Spiritually and physically, wean ourselves from her. We must believe in God and accept no trash from her. Victory Babylon, the wickedness she be on. Man, our people minds gone, suicidal brains blown. However, Yah is in control, we must stay whole and be strong. And join the fold, this is not a show. Bump this in your whip, turn off the radio.
Drawing up to the time. Drawing up to the time. 400 years.
All right. Amen, 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 amen. Want to welcome everybody to Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry Thursday night business meeting. We pray everybody is doing well. We want to greet you in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the internet in general, wherever you may be. And we greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. I want to say shalom, family. How are you?
Shalom. Shalom, brother.
Shalom. Everything okay up there in Minnesota?
Yes, it is.
Just cold?
Just cold.
Yes.
I heard you guys, weren't you guys getting some snow today?
That was up north.
Tomorrow.
So it's
we
north and coming
tomorrow.
Down. All right, amen. So Sister Mary, Sister Denise, shalom. Sister Lorraine, shalom.
Shalom.
All right, amen.
Shalom.
Everything okay there in the Carolinas?
Everything's good here.
All right, amen. All right, we're going to give a couple of more minutes for some other people to show up. We are going to go over Jeremiah chapter 10 and 11 on this evening, and then we will get into the bylaw stuff. And I wanted to cover this because, you know, when Sister Rachel mentioned Jeremiah chapter 11 that she was being given, I mistook Jeremiah 11 for Jeremiah 10. And 10 talks about the Christmas tree and stuff like that. 11 talks about a completely different thing concerning Israel's breaking the covenant of the Most High and Israel and Judah and actually worshiping Baal in the house of the Most High. And so it is a complete rebuke to the breaking of the covenant by Israel and Judah, and I want to go over that. I still went back and did a review of the scripture, and I can't find anything that specifically, I didn't say specifically yet, specifically prohibits the celebration of birthdays. However, I am going to give some advice in that area when it comes to celebrating our own, because anything that we celebrate that we do is supposed to bring honor to the Most High. And so you can celebrate your birthday in such a way to bring honor to Him. It's when we, you know, we go about to celebrate it, to party and get drunk and, you know what happens when people get drunk, lips start getting loose and everything else. And so we have people getting in trouble, parties turn into, or have the potential to turn into something else, or people hook up, what have you. And it's not to the glory of the Most High. So, you know, not saying that is a sin to celebrate your birthday. I still don't believe it is, even after looking into this matter, after the sister asked the question. But, you know, all the digging that I have done before, did Israel commonly practice celebrating birthdays? No. But there's nowhere in the scripture where it forbids it. And so when I'm looking at the scriptures and I'm looking at like Job and a couple other places, it wasn't that the Most High said, don't do it. But I think that in everything that we do, especially when it comes to showing adoration and those types of things, that we do it to bring Him glory. And so even in our birthday, you know, there's nothing wrong with giving thanks to the Most High for bringing you into the world, for keeping you, for, you know, setting you on your path, for celebrating another year. There's nothing wrong with that, and there's nothing that prohibits it. It's what we do, as I said, when we party. Like shouldn't use birthday candles because they are tied to some type of tradition where I think it has to do with the deity of wishes or good luck. So you probably shouldn't do that. Okay, anything that's tied to a deity. But the celebration of the day and how you do it, you can very much do it and do it in a way that honors the Most High and not be sinful. So I'll leave that at that for right now. We're going to go ahead and get started. I make a motion that we call this meeting to order. Can I have a second?
I second.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed say nay. The ayes have it. This meeting of Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry is now officially in session. On the books tonight, as I said, we're going to be discussing Jeremiah chapter 10 and 11, and then we're going to go back into discipleship and discipline according to the bylaws and what action should be taken and so forth. So the men of the ladies to cover their heads, men uncover your heads. Let us go before the Most High. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen. The Book of Psalms, 133. Psalms 133. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
Right,
amen.
Amen. Thank you. Psalms 133, verses 1 through 3. A song of degree of David. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment. as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there Yah commanded the blessing, even life, forevermore. But the Most High had a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen.
Amen.
All right, the book of Jeremiah. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 10. And this is for, you know, as I said, we shouldn't celebrate pagan holidays. And anytime you find anything in scripture that specifically mentions certain practices, you know, we may not understand that putting up a Christmas tree, decorating it, is prohibited by the Most High, because it was a practice that they did in Egypt to worship the tree. And so they cut it down and they would decorate it. Somebody took that same practice and incorporated it with what? Christmas. And thinking that, you know, it's innocent and there's nothing to it. But this is what Jeremiah chapter 10 is dealing with. So Jeremiah chapter 10, everybody there?
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hear ye the word of Yah, speak unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith Yah, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven. Excuse me. What has always been the way of the heathen is to look at the stars, the sun and the moon, and try to predict what was going to happen. Okay, so, you know, a lot of times the practice of astrology and the looking up when you were born and casting a horoscope based upon the day that you were born, the year that you were born, so forth and so on. And the Most High told us not to do that. Don't be an observer of the signs of heaven for this reason. For the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain. Stars can't tell you anything about yourself. This is just something that men have made up. Now he's talking about, for one cuts a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workman with the axe. They deck it with silver and gold, then fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. They are upright at the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs to be born, because they cannot. What version am I reading this out of? That's the KJV. Okay, it sounded like the Young Literal. Okay. They are brought up as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs to be born, because they cannot be. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. Now, he's not talking about these men that are putting these trees together. He's talking about the trees themselves and these people cutting them down, nailing them down so that they stand upright, decorating them with gold, and they're worshiping these trees. Okay? And he says that these trees, they can't speak to do evil, nor is it in them to do what? Good. They're just trees. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Yah, thou art great, thy name is great in might. Who would not fear thee, O King of the nations? For to thee does it appertain. For as much as among all the wise men of the nations, and to all their kingdoms, there is none like unto thee. But they are altogether brutish, as like animal-like, and foolish. The stock is a doctrine of vanities. Silver spread into platelets is brought from Tarshish, and gold from Ephes, the work of the workmen, and the hands of the founder. Blue and purple is their clothing. They are all the work of cunning men. But Yah is the true Elohim. He is the living Elohim and is an everlasting king. At his wrath, the earth shall tremble, and the nation shall not be able to abide his indignation. Thus shall you say unto them, the Elohims that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. So really what he's saying is, anything that is called an Elohim that didn't make heaven and earth, there's only one that made heaven and earth. He says all these other Elohims, what's going to happen to them? They're going to perish from under the earth. Okay? He has made the earth by his power. He has established the world by his wisdom and has stretched out the heavens by his discretion. When he utters his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens, and he causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings with rain, and bringeth forth the wind out of his treasures. Every man is brutish in his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the graven image. Now we're told in the second commandment, that we're not to create images of anything and bow down to them. So when people, you know, they don't understand symbolism with the Most High. And so the jack-o'-lantern for Halloween and, you know, all these different costumes and all the traditions and customs of men, we never really question where they come from and what is it dedicated to. And the Most High is telling us basically anything that man worships that didn't create the heavens and the earth is going to be torn down. All those false gods, he's going to tear them down when he comes back. Messiah is going to tear them down. All the false worship. Okay. He makes lightnings with rain and brings forth the wind out of the treasure. Every man is brutish in his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the graven image. For his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. So they're worshiping something that is not alive, that is not, you know, can't breathe, can't talk, can't do good, can't do evil. But they're, you know, they will worship it and say, my God, my God, my God, my God is like this. This is how we worship him. And the Most High says, there's only one you should be worshiping is him and how he says to worship him. So they are vanity and the work of errors. In the time of their visitation, they shall perish. The portion of Jacob is not like them. So we're not supposed to be like them. We're not supposed to do what the heathen does. For he is the former of all things, and Israel is the rod of his inheritance. Yahweh host is his name. Gather up the wares out of the land, O inhabitants of the forest. For thus saith Yah, behold, I will sling out the inhabitants of the land at this once, and will distress them, that they may find it also. Woe is me for my hurt. My wound is grievous. But I said, truly this is a grief, and I must bear it. Now, Jeremiah is talking about himself. My tabernacle is spoiled, and all my cords are broken. My children are gone forth from me, and they are not. There is none to stretch forth my tent anymore, to set up my curtains. So it goes from Jeremiah back to the Most High. And the Most High is saying, you have spoiled, you know, my tabernacle is spoiled because you're worshiping false gods in it. You're doing all, you know, putting up these trees and decorating them. My children are gone forth of me, and they are not. There is none to stretch forth my tent anymore, or to set up my curtains. Yes. For the pastors are become brutish. The pastors have become like animals and have not sought Yah. Therefore they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered. Behold, the noise of the brute is come, and a great commotion out of the north country, to make the cities of Judah desolate, and a den of dragons. That's really like lizards and stuff. Oh Yah, I know that the way of a man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. O Yah, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. Pour out the fury upon the heathen that know not thee. So pour out thy fury upon the heathen that knows not thee, and upon the families that call not on thy name. For they have eaten up Jacob, and devoured him, and consumed him, and have made his habitation desolate. So Jeremiah chapter 10 is really talking about worshiping false gods. In this case, the worship of trees. Cutting them down, setting them up so that they stand up straight, decorating them, and then throwing and then placing adoration on them. You know how people do with their Christmas tree. That's why we don't celebrate Christmas with the Christmas tree, and we don't celebrate Christmas because it's really not his time of birth. It's not a date that the Most High gave us to celebrate. Not to have to do anything with his birth. He didn't give us December 25th as a time to celebrate anything. And then when we do have a date that we celebrate something in the church or Christianity or the world has tied paganism to it, it doesn't nullify our holiday. We just have to understand the reason that we celebrate it and don't be celebrating it for the same reasons that they do. Because they have mixed it with, you know, our feast day. Let's say Easter as an example. Feast of the First Fruits. We're required to keep that as a day. But it's also the day that Messiah came out of the tomb and became the first fruits from the dead. So we keep that day and we celebrate it. But the world calls it Easter. And then they tie, what, Esther to it? The Easter bunny, which represents Esther, the goddess of fertility. Rabbits represent fertility and reproduction. Eggs represent what? Fertility and reproduction. What do any of those things have to do with Messiah?
Nothing.
Being the first fruits? Nothing. So, you know, we might say, well, that, you know, the world's saying it's Easter, but we're celebrating also, but we're not celebrating Easter. We are celebrating him, you know, coming out of the tomb, being the first fruits from the dead, his resurrection. But we're not supposed to, you know, incorporate any of the customs of the world into that. Because those customs of the world and the day that they've named it have nothing to really do with Messiah. The name of the holiday, Easter, has nothing to do with him. And so when you go back and you research that custom and what they did for Easter, you know, go buy a new dress, your Easter, you know, suit. And they would come to their temple. And all the virgins would be dressed in new Easter dresses. And then the priests would have sex with them on the altar in their temple. That's got nothing to do with Messiah. So we're not to mix those things. And I think if we go into the Kings, and I didn't pull it up, but if we were to go into the Kings, this is what the Most High accused Israel of you know, following the customs of the heathens and wanting to worship him the way that they worship their God. Okay, and then it got so bad that Israel started worshiping other gods in the Most High's house. So this temple, synagogue, sanctuary is dedicated to the Most High, this temple. And then you start worshiping another god in there. So now let's go to Jeremiah chapter 11. Any questions on Jeremiah chapter 10?
None.
Anyone?
I just have a comment to make.
Go ahead,
people,
my sister.
Don't know Christmas is Santa Claus' birthday, Rudolph's birthday, and all the rest of them. You know what I'm saying? Because that's when they
right.
were discovered, you know.
Right. It has nothing to do with Messiah.
No.
But they wanted a date to, you know, they wanted to tie him to it, trying to make it a religious holiday. But he's not, you know, I'm going to go over those in the coming weeks because we're coming up on that time so that we understand, at least by my understanding, not saying you got to believe it or embrace it, just saying that what the Most High has shown me in the scripture, this is when Messiah was born, This is why, and it's in his titles. He's got to fulfill all of those titles. Every title he has, he had to earn that title. And when you do a study of his titles, then it also starts to reveal to you some other things and times that, you know, because of the way the Most High works, then it's when you know the way he works, then it's logical. But if you don't know, then you can study it and you can think that you can come up with, you know, the correct days and stuff because it appears to be correct. But so I'm just going to show you because, yeah, at one time, you know, I've always heard that his birth date was in September, October time frame or time of tabernacles, you know, and tabernacles being Elohim with us. And so people automatically assume because it says Elohim with us that he had to be born then. But that's when he's actually going to return. That's his return date, his tabernacles. His initial coming in was tied with the work that he was doing, which was to make the work to pass over our what? Sins. And all of those titles are fulfilled in all of the springtime feasts. So we'll take a look at that. Jeremiah chapter 11. And as I said, they started worshiping other Elohims. Now, in Ezekiel, I also recommend that you read Ezekiel chapter 8 and 9. Because, again, this is not the first prophet to talk about this and what our forefathers did. It is, Jeremiah is not the first one. He's not the only one. And, you know, the Most High was so mad at Israel, you know, he sort of took it out on his prophet. He picked the prophet up by the hair, grabbed a handful of hair and lifted him up. Come here. Let me show you what they do. But he's furious. So now let's read Jeremiah chapter 11. The word that came to Jeremiah from Yah saying, hear ye the words of the covenant. Now, this is why I said we review the covenant, because the covenant is important to the Most High. This is his contract, his agreement. And he says, hear the words of the covenant, the agreement, and speak unto the men of Judah and unto the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And say thou unto them, thus saith Yah, Elohim of Israel, cursed be the man that obeys not the words of this covenant. So everybody who's a covenant breaker, Jeremiah and out of Israel, he pronounced a what on them? A curse. And the truth of the matter is, this is anybody that says that they follow the Most High and keep his covenants. You don't keep it, whether it's old or new, if you don't keep it, you are cursed. Which I commanded your fathers in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, from the iron furnace, saying, obey my voice and do them his commandments. Do his words, according to all which I commanded you. So you shall be my people, and I will be your Elohim. I said, Elohim told Israel, if you obey my voice and do my commandments, then I'll be your God. Then you'll be a holy nation to me. Then you'll be my people. It's an if condition. And it's the same way in the New Testament. If you obey his voice, then you belong to him. If you don't obey his voice, if you don't keep the covenant, you don't belong to him. The promises don't belong to you. Okay, we got a lot of people not keeping covenant, not even understanding what it is and saying that they belong to him. And they're going to find out with a rude awakening that they do not. Okay, so when we, you know, as I go back and review this stuff over and over again, I went back to Exodus chapter 19. And, you know, was looking for the time frame of the tabernacle and, you know, the verses that go along with that. And I know what chapters they're in, but a lot of times I review it because it keeps me sharp in it, and it keeps it at my forefront in my mind. And, you know, when you're reading Exodus and you start in chapter 19 and you read all the way up through chapter 40, one of the things that I found that a lot of people don't do, they don't read for time frame. How much time has passed?
Excuse me, Brother Miles.
Huh?
Excuse me, Brother Miles. Excuse me, Brother Miles. I have my nephew here. He has a question that he wants to ask.
Okay, go ahead.
So, Brother Miles, you're saying that if God don't, I mean, if I don't do what the commandments say, he don't want no parts of me. That's what you're saying?
That's what he said.
Because what I heard was he's not going to cover me. I'm covered anyway. I'm always covered, you know?
So how are you covered if he doesn't cover you?
Because I'm covered because I was born. You know, I'm covered from the day I was born. You know, I was covered. See, now the thing is I lost that cover because of my sinful ways. But he's still there. He takes the sinner and he love on them, you know what I'm saying, until they ready to love him back. Because who is he? He's God. He's almighty, you know? So I don't understand that, Brother Malcolm. You got to explain it to me. Thank you.
Okay. I would have to go into a whole nother lesson. We're going to finish 11, and I'm going to come back to your question, okay? I don't want you to ask the question and not be answered. Okay, but this has to deal with what people believe God has said and what he has actually said, what people have taught that he said, and what he has actually said in the scriptures. Okay, and that's two different things. It's two different things. So we are not always covered. The Most High's love for us is conditional. It's not unconditional. It's always an if condition. If you do this, then I will do that. It's never, ever unconditional. You must do what he says do. And these are not my words. Because what we just read in Jeremiah, he says, that you're in Jeremiah with us?
Yes.
Okay. Let's start in verse 1. And I'm just going to slow down. Okay, but I want you to hear what he's saying and what he told them. And then once we finish this, then I'm going to dig it up for you. Because I don't want you to, you know, your question not to be answered according to the scriptures, not according to Brother Miles. Okay? So, Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 2. Hear you the words of the covenant, and speak unto the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and say thou unto them, thus saith Yah Elohim of Israel, cursed be the man that obeys not the words of this covenant. So anybody who is up under the covenant, who don't obey it, he told Jeremiah to place a curse on them. Cursed be whoever does not keep this covenant, the words of this covenant, obey the voice of the Most High. This is what he first told Israel. So I'm going to go back and forth. Let's go to Exodus chapter 19. I'm going to answer your question and come back and forth. Let's go to Exodus chapter 19. And then we're going to bring it into the New Testament. And when you have it, if you say amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
All right. Exodus chapter 19, we're going to start in verse 1. This is after the Most High has brought them out of Egypt, and he's brought them to Mount Sinai. Okay? And he begins to speak with them. Okay, in the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, and the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai, where they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto Elohim, and Yah called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice, indeed. So he's given them the requirements. If you obey my voice, an if condition, then something else is going to happen. If you obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, keep my agreement that we're going to make, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. So right here he sets the requirement. If you obey my voice indeed, for real, and keep my covenant, then you shall be my people, a treasure, a peculiar people, a treasure above all people. Verse 6, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which I commanded. And all the people answered together. Now Moses would come down to them and said, the Most High said, if you will obey his voice and keep his commandments and not break his covenant, then you shall be a peculiar people unto him and a holy nation. Okay? And he comes and he brings these words to the people. And all the people answered together as in unity and said, all that Yah has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto Yah. Let's continue. So first of all, we see that the Most High is conditional. If you will obey my voice, then you shall be this, and I will do this for you. Verse 9, and Yah said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak unto thee, and I believe thee forever. So the Most High says, I want the people to hear me speak to you, so that they know that I speak to you, Moses, and that they will believe you forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto Yah, and Yah said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them, set them apart, get them cleaned up today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and be ready against the third day. For the third day Yah will come down in the sight of all the people unto Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds, a boundary, unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves that you go not up into the mount. Don't go up into the mountain or touch the border of it. Whosoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. This mountain is going to be sanctified. When the Most High comes down on this mountain, it's going to be holy. Don't even let no animals come on it. Okay? Whatever comes on it, while the Most High is there, if you don't tell him to come, it's to be killed. There shall not any hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be a beast or a man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. And Moses went down from the mountain unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day, and come not at your wives. Don't have intercourse with your wives, because when you have intercourse with your wife, you are now in an unclean state. Until you wash in the evening, the next day you're okay. But when the Most High comes down, he don't want you in an unclean state. So he says, don't even come at your wives on that day. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and thick cloud upon the mountain, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with Elohim. And they stood at the nether, or the further part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on smoke, because Yah descended upon it in fire. So you can put yourself in their shoes. You hear this trumpet start to blow, and it's blowing loud. And we're going to read that. It's just going to get louder and louder, but it's loud. And Moses calls all the people out of their tents and says, come, let's go to the mountain. Not go on it, but let's go to the mountain. We're going to go meet the Most High. And you're going to hear the Most High speak to me. Okay, so now what you're going to understand is that Moses did not give the people the Ten Commandments. The Most High did directly. He spoke them so that they could hear it, all the whole nation of Israel. Okay. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet Elohim, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. Verse 18, and the Mount Sinai was altogether on smoke, and because Yah descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. So the ground is shaking, the mountain is on fire, and this trumpet is blowing loud. And the Most High is doing this for a reason. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and Elohim answered him in a voice. And Yah came down upon the Mount Sinai and on top of the mount, and Yah called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And Yah said unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through, because you know how we are. We were told not to go up there, but somebody going to get foolish and go up there. Try to. He said, go down, lest they break through unto Yah, to gaze, to look at him, and many of them perish. And let the priests also, which come near to Yah, sanctify themselves, lest Yah break forth upon them. So he's telling Moses, go down, don't let anybody break through. Moses is going to say, hey, you already told me this. But also tell the priests to sanctify themselves, because they can't come around me any kind of way. Can't be in any kind of state and be around me. Okay. And Moses said unto Yah, the people cannot come up unto the Mount Sinai, for thou charged us, saying, set bounds about the mount and sanctify it. And Yah said unto him, away, get thee down. Thou shalt come up, Aaron with thee, but let not the priests and the people break through to come up unto Yah, lest he, Yah, break forth upon them. So Moses went down unto the people and spake unto them. Now, if we continued in this, then we would find out that the people said, hey, we don't want to go up there and meet him. We're afraid. Moses, you go for us, okay? And you come back to us with what Yah says. In this, the whole point is Yah is coming down, and the people are seeing his presence on the mountain, and he's going to give them his 10 commandments. He's going to give them the instructions. They're going to hear him give it to Moses, but he's really talking to the entire nation. This conversation continues all the way until Exodus 24, all the way to Exodus 24, when the Most High calls Moses back up on the mountain for 40 days. This initial contact lasted for 6 days. And then Moses goes back up on the mountain. The truth of the matter is, he's giving them his statutes, laws, and commandments, and he's telling them, if you obey my voice, indeed, if you obey me and keep my covenant, then you will be a great nation to me. Then you will be a peculiar people to me. Okay? They were not covered because of the birth. They were not even covered even up under Messiah, and we're going to go and get that in a few minutes. Okay, so what we got to understand is the Most High, if we don't obey his covenant, and we say we are in covenant relationship with him, Old Testament or New, and when you read the covenants, then if you read the New Covenant, you got to say, well, what's in here? Everything in the Old Covenant but the sacrificial animals, and that we couldn't go amongst the Gentiles. Everything else is the same. Messiah died for our sins, so that we could come to him. Okay, so we can come back to the Most High because our forefathers didn't keep the covenant. They broke it. So just go back to Jeremiah chapter 11, and then we're going to take it into the New Testament. Any questions so far on what we've read?
No.
He said no.
Okay. Jeremiah chapter 11. Well, no. Let's go to... Give me a hot second here. Let me look up something here. We're going to go back to Jeremiah chapter. I want to go somewhere else first. And this is an overview, but I would recommend that you read this in its entirety for yourself. Give me a hot second here. Okay. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 10. And I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to read what pertains to what we're talking about. Then we'll come back. We're going to go to Deuteronomy, a couple of chapters, get a couple of verses, and then we're going to come back to Jeremiah. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 10. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
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 All right. Deuteronomy chapter 10, and this is the Ten Commandments, okay? And we'll start in verse 1. We'll read down through about verse 13 or 14. Deuteronomy chapter 10, starting in verse 1. And at the time, Yah said unto me, cut or hew thee two tablets of stone like unto the first, because the first ones he broke. He came down from the mountain. The people were partying, having orgies and all this kind of stuff, revel rousing, and Moses threw the tablets because you have corrupted yourselves and made. You heard the Most High tell you don't make any image of any graven image of anything under the heavens and bow down and worship it. Moses didn't tell them that. The Most High told them that, called Moses up to the mountain to write it down on the tablets. He brought it back down, and while he's bringing it back down to them, he finds out, he come down and find them worshiping this golden calf. And so he throws the tablets and he breaks them. Now this is the new set of tablets that he goes back and gets. And at that time, Yah said unto me, cut thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and come up unto me into the mount. Like the first ones, we're going to do it again, and make thee an ark of wood. And I will write on the tablets the words that were in the first tables, which thou breakest, and thou shalt put them in the ark. And I made an ark of shittim wood, and hewed two tables of stone like unto the first, and went up into the mount, having the two tables in my hand. And he wrote on the tables, according to the first writing, the Ten Commandments, which Yah spake unto you. Now hear this, which Yah spake unto you in the mount out of the midst of the fire. The Most High gave the people the Ten Commandments. The Most High told them all the law that he once kept. And like I said, it took 6 days. It wasn't just the Ten Commandments that the Most High gave them. He clarified his statutes, his judgments, and the people agreed to it. Okay? So Moses is going back just to get the first ten, but everything else is still in effect, and it's part of this covenant, this agreement. And he wrote on the tables, according to the first writing, the Ten Commandments, which Yah had spake unto you in the mount out of the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly. And Yah gave them unto me. And I turned myself and came down from the mount and put the tables in the ark which I had made. And there they be as Yah commanded me. And the children of Israel took their journey from Beeroth, the children of Jokan, to Masera. There Aaron died, and there he was buried. And Eleazar the son ministered in the priest's office in his stead. From thence they journeyed unto Gogota, and from Gogota to Jobab, a land of rivers and waters. And at that time, Yah separated the tribe of Levi to bear the Ark of the Covenant of Yah, to stand before Yah, to minister unto him, and to bless him, to bless his name unto this day. Wherefore, Levi has no part nor inheritance with his brethren. Yah is his inheritance, according to Yah, as thy Elohim promised him. And I stayed in the mount according to the first time, 40 days and 40 nights. So this is another time, a second time, and I believe Moses went up into the mountain a total of three times for 40 days and 40 nights. Okay. And I stayed in the mount according to the first time, 40 days and 40 nights. And Yah hearkened unto me at that time also, and Yah would not destroy that, and Yah would not destroy thee. And Yah said unto me, arise, take thy journey before the people, that they may go in and possess the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give unto them. And now Israel, now this is what I want to get to. This is what the Most High requires. And now Israel, what does Yah thy Elohim require of thee? This is not optional. This is what's required. But to fear Yah thy Elohim, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve Yah thy Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of Yah and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. So this is what he requires. Fear Yah, first thing. Walk in his ways, second thing. Love him, third thing. Serve him with all of your heart, not just what you want to give, not what you think is appropriate, but with all your heart. He always demands all of us, our whole heart, not what we want to give, not that we're human or we're a man or a woman, but the Most High says, I don't care. I want all of you. I want you to serve me with everything that you are. I won't accept anything less. I don't have to accept anything less.
Amen.
So give me your whole heart. Okay. To keep his commandments. That's why he says, obey my voice. Indeed. And they heard his voice. See, we today, a lot of people don't hear the voice of the Most High. He didn't talk to them. But he still talks to us. He says, if you obey my voice, indeed. So this was a requirement. Keep his commandments. Keep his covenant. Okay. Let's go to chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11. We're going to start in verse 1. Because, again, this is what Israel has failed to do. Therefore, thou shalt love Yah thy Elohim and keep his charge. Whatever he charges you to do, keep my commandments. Love me. Walk in my ways. Obey my voice. This is his charge. And his statutes. And his judgments.
Yeah.
And his commandments sometimes.
Always.
No, when we
always
feel like.
Always.
Always. This is a requirement. It's not optional. The Most High has not hidden this thing. We just have to read it and believe it. Now, the day that we come into this world, we are not covered. The day that we come into this world, we are innocent, but we were conceived in sin because the very act of sexual intercourse, which the Most High says makes us unclean, he says that very act is sin. So no man can say that they are without sin. Even, he gives you an example in Romans chapter 8 or 9 concerning Esau and Jacob. Says he hated Esau before he even came out of the womb. He hadn't done anything. But the Most High hated him because he knew what he was going to do. Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated before they had done anything. Okay, so the Most High is looking at what we do. And he knows what we're going to do, even before we do it or don't. But this is what he requires of us. Okay. Therefore thou shalt love Yah thy Elohim and keep his charge and his statutes and his judgments and his commandments always. Not sometimes. But always. Okay. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 12. And then we'll go back to Jeremiah. Deuteronomy chapter 12. And these are the statutes and the judgments which you shall observe to do in the land, which Yah thy Elohim of thy fathers gives thee to possess it all the days that you live upon the earth. It's supposed to be our way of life. Okay. So it's about this covenant. It's about obeying his commandments. It's about obeying his judgments, keeping his judgments. If the Most High says, if a woman is caught, a woman and a man are caught in a house and they're fornicating by two or three witnesses and they're caught, they're both supposed to be what? Stoned.
Wow. Yep.
Okay. if a man and a woman are in a field and they are caught fornicating, then the man only will die. Why? What's the difference? Because the Most High says you're going to give the woman you're going to give the woman the benefit of the doubt that she hollered rape and nobody heard her. She's not out here willfully fornicating. So you're going to assume that the man is taking her against her will, and he only will die. In the city, she hollered rape. Somebody should have heard her, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the woods, somebody may not hear her.
He don't forgive those people like that? So what are you saying? He don't forgive people like that?
Does he forgive them?
Yeah. They can't come back to him.
Let me put it to you this way. Okay, because I understand. Let's go to the book of Romans then. You got to understand what Messiah did and what he did it for, and that this was not forever. It's available forever for new saints, but it ain't forever once you come to him. Okay. I believe it's Romans. Let me see if I can find this. Give me a hot second here. Go to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter
3.
And when you have it, if you say amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Romans chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 23. And I'm not going to do a whole lesson on this, but, you know, give you the overview so we can have an understanding that about this thing sin and how the Most High looks at it. Verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of Elohim, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is through Christ Jesus or Yeshua HaMashiach. Now, how are you redeemed through Christ, whom Elohim has set forth to be a propitiation, a replacement, a payment, through faith in Mashiach's blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are what?
Past.
Okay. For the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of Elohim. Now, what does this mean? When you come to Messiah, and you accept him as your Savior, your Lord and Savior, and you repent, that means that you are supposed to have an understanding of what sin is so that you can repent of it. You're supposed to have an understanding of what you did wrong, how you fell short, and you're supposed to
repent. But is the flesh not weak?
Repent.
But is the flesh not weak? Is the flesh not weak?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Is the flesh not weak? Sometimes the flesh can be so weak.
Your flesh is weak. But you're supposed to bring your flesh up under control.
Exactly. Understood?
Okay. You're supposed to bring it up under control. And once you know what is right and what is wrong, you're not supposed to do wrong, regardless of your flesh. You can't let your flesh govern you.
Brother Malcolm. Miles.
Yes, sir.
Brother Miles? Okay.
Yeah, Brother Miles.
I'm new on this, you know what I'm saying? So I'm sorry for just, you know what I'm saying, want the better understanding. Well, I'm not sorry for wanting a better understanding, but I need a better understanding on that, you know?
Okay, well.
I'm new. I'm a beginner.
Yeah,
so,
I'm going to say
so
that this topic, this topic of sin.
Uh-huh.
And how the Most High deals with it and what sin he deals with and how he deals with it. I'm going to say it to you this way.
So a sin is
and,
not a sin? All sins is not the same?
I'm sorry, say that again.
All sin is not the same?
No.
It's a different
thing. All sin, is sin, but not all sin is the same. Not all sin is unto death. There's only a couple of sins that are not unto death. Okay? Only a couple that are not unto death. You do it, and it's not a death penalty. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But there's really only two categories of sin, if you want to make it simple. All right? There's only two categories of sin that the Most High looks at. So you can say all these commandments and all that stuff, that's all fine. You're supposed to obey it. And if you don't obey these commandments, it's what? Sin. If you don't keep the law, it's what? Sin. Okay? But when it comes to how the Most High deals with sin, he deals with sin in two categories, two states of mind. Either you know what you're doing or you don't. Okay, let me say that again. Either you know something is right or it's wrong, or you don't. So he says anything that you don't know is ignorance. You're ignorant of it. That don't mean you're stupid or anything. It means that you just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a sin, he says, you're still guilty of it, but I won't charge you with it because you're ignorant of it. You're doing it and you don't know that it's wrong.
Right.
And then there is willful sin, something you know is wrong, and you decide to do it.
Okay.
He deals with those in two completely different ways. And he's not all forgiving for everything that you do because you say, I'm sorry. Because he says, if you knew what you were doing, how are you going to come back and tell me you were sorry? You knew it was wrong. So we're going to cover those two areas, and then we need to get back to the business meeting.
Sometimes, Brother Malcolm, I think it's different sometimes. I don't know why my mind is allowing me to think different like this. I feel like
we're going to go strictly by the word of the Most High.
Questions, right?
Right. We're going to go strictly by the word of the Most High. I'm not going to give you my opinion.
Okay?
Brother Miles.
If you can't read it, I ain't going to tell it to you. All right?
Oh. Okay.
Is that fair?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Because,
I don't want you to say, Brother Miles said. I say some things, and I may not always read it from the scriptures because we have gone over these things. But I don't ever want anybody that listens to me would tell you, I don't care who's right. I just want to know what's right.
Hallelujah.
And I'm only going to teach you what you can read because that's all you can stand on. So it's not going to be my opinion. Okay, so let's read verse 25 again. Romans chapter 3, verse 25, because I want you to understand which of your sins Messiah died for, okay? Whom Elohim has set forth to be a propitiation, a payment through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remissions of sins that are past, not present, not future. Now, this is not talking about, and when I say this, not present or future, I'm talking about each individual in the time that they live, in that time that they come to the Most High, and they accept Messiah. All of their sins up until that point, the day they were born, up until the point that they accept Messiah, are forgiven. Those are their past sins, because the future ones haven't happened yet. So he died for all your sins that are past. You come to him, Most High, I know I'm a sinner. And I'm guilty of this, this, and this. And those are the things that you know of. And you have godly sorrow, and you confess it to him. And you say, I'm going to repent. That's not only to say I'm sorry, but that's to turn away from and don't do it anymore. Because you know that it's wrong. And that he died for it. So all your sins up until that point and past are forgiven. By the forbearance of Elohim, he says, I'm going to forgive you those sins that are past. Now, from this day forward, you got to walk upright. You can't do any of those things that you know are wrong. You can't do them because you know they're wrong. You know that they go against me. So now, since we know that he died for our sins that are past, you come to him, you confess your sins, You go down in the water, get baptized into his name, into his death. You come up out of the water, a new creature, a new creation in Mashiach. You are clean. You are without spot, without blemish, unless you go back and sin again. Now, people will say, well, the scripture says, if I confess my sin, he is true and just to forgive me. And it does say that, but that scripture doesn't stand on its own. And that's what people want to do.
What you mean
they want to stand on its own. Huh?
What you mean? It don't stand on its own. What you mean?
Because the Most High works in a certain way. So let me take you here, and then we're going to go into, we got to go to the
I'm
old.
I'm sorry, it'd be all day with me. I'm always asking.
Come back and understand the new, okay? What he's saying. So give me a hot second, because this is, like I said, this is coming off the top of my head. Go to Numbers.
I'm afraid sometimes because I feel like I'm moving in an unfamiliar place.
The book of Numbers, chapter 15.
It's an unfamiliar place.
And so write these things down so you can go back and review them yourself, because I'm not going to teach it in detail, okay?
Okay, let me write it down.
Numbers 15, starting in verse 1. Everybody, and when everybody has it, they'll say amen.
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 Numbers 15, starting in verse 1. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you come into the land of your habitation, which I give unto you, and will make an offering by fire unto Yah, a burnt offering, a sacrifice in performing a vow, or in a free will offering, or in your solemn feasts, to make a sweet smell, savor, or smell unto Yah, of the herd or of the flock. Then shall he that offered his offering unto Yah bring a meat offering of the tenth deal of flour of mingle with the fourth part of a hin of oil. And the fourth part of a hin of wine for a drink offering shalt thou prepare with the burnt offering of the sacrifice for a lamb, for one lamb. And for one ram thou shalt prepare a meat offering, two-tenths deal for a flour mingled with the third part of a hin of oil. And for a drink offering thou shalt offer the third part of a hin of wine for a sweet savor unto Yah. And when thou preparest a bullock, a bull for a burnt offering, or for a sacrifice in performing a vow or a peace offering unto Yah. When thou preparest the bullock for a burnt offering or a sacrifice in performing a vow or a peace offering unto Yah, then shall he bring with the bullock a meat offering of three-tenths. Let's see, I'm going to skip down from that. And let's skip down to verse 13. All that are born of the country shall do these things after this manner, an offering made by fire of sweet savor unto Yah. If a stranger sojourns or visits with you, and whosoever be among you in your generations will offer an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto Yah, as you do, so he shall do. One ordinance shall be for both you of the congregation and all the strangers that sojourn with you, an ordinance forever in your generations. As you are, so shall the stranger be before you. Now, I read all that, and we don't have to worry about the sacrifices. It's not important. It's that if they wanted to make an offering to the Most High, they were all to do it the same way. Okay? The Hebrew and any strangers that sojourn amongst them. Okay? One law and one manner shall be for you and for the strangers that sojourn with you. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you come into the land whither I bring you, then it shall be that when you eat the bread of the land, you shall offer up a heave offering unto Yah. You shall offer up a cake of the first year, your dough for a heave offering, as you do the heave offering of the threshing floor, so shall you heave it. Of the first of your dough, you shall give it unto Yah as a heave offering in your generations. And if you have erred, now we want to start here, okay? If you have erred, made a mistake, fallible, and not observe all these commandments, which Yah has spoken unto you, even all that Yah has commanded you by the hand of Moses, from the day that Yah commanded Moses and henceforth among your generations, then it shall be, if I be committed by, what's that word?
Ignorance.
Okay? You are not keeping something out of what? Ignorance. You don't know. So let's look at how the Most High deals with this. Okay. Then it shall be, if I be committed by ignorance, without the knowledge of the congregation, then all the congregation shall offer one young bullock for a burnt offering, for a sweet savor unto Yah, with a meat offering and his drink offering, according to the manner, and one kid of the goats for a sin offering. It was ignorance, but it's still what? Sin. You just didn't know it was sin. And the priest shall make an atonement for all the congregation of the children of Israel. So this is talking about if the whole congregation, all the people are doing something in ignorance. They don't know that it's a sin. But the day that they learn about it, then they're supposed to, they could bring a sin offering, okay? But they're not to commit it again. The priest shall make an atonement for all the congregation of the children of Israel, and it shall be forgiven them. Why? For it is what?
Ignorance. It is ignorance.
For it is ignorance. That's why it's going to be forgiven, because it's ignorance. You didn't know you were doing wrong. And they shall bring their offering, a sacrifice made by fire unto Yah, and their sin offering before Yah for their ignorance.
Yeah.
The sin offering was for their what?
Ignorance.
Their ignorance. And I will let you make an atonement because you did it ignorantly. And it shall be forgiven the congregation of the children of Israel and the stranger that sojourns among them, seeing all the people were in ignorance. So all the people weren't doing this knowingly, knowing that it was what wrong. They were doing it in ignorance. The Most High says, and you can bring a sin offering for that. And it shall be forgiven you because it was done in ignorance. And if any soul sin through ignorance, now we come down to the individual. First we're dealing with the whole congregation. Now we're going to deal with the individual. If any soul sin through ignorance, then he shall bring a she-goat for the first year for a sin offering. He didn't know it was sin. Found out it was sin. Stopped doing it. And the priest shall make an atonement for the soul that sins ignorantly. When he sins by ignorance before Yah to make an atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. And you shall have one law for him that sins through ignorance, both for him that is born among the children of Israel and for the stranger that sojourns among them. But the soul that does out presumptuously. Now we're changing subjects here. The soul that does so willfully. Knowing it's wrong, that's presumptuously. You know this is wrong, but you're going to do it. But the soul that does ought presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproaches Yah, the same offends Yah, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people because he has despised the word of Yah. You knew what I said was wrong. You're going to do it anyway. You despise my word. You despise me. You hate me. And has broken his commandment. That soul shall be utterly cut off. His iniquity shall be upon him. No forgiveness. He can't bring a sacrifice. The Most High has always been this way. When the children of Israel sin ignorantly, they could bring a sacrifice. And there's other places where he say, you know, they got to confess it. They got to confess their sin, then they can bring this sacrifice and make an atonement for it because they did it ignorantly. But if they did it presumptuously, they knew it was wrong. He says, you can't bring me no sacrifice for that. You shall be cut off from your people, and your iniquity shall be upon you. Can't ask me forgiveness for that, because you knew it was wrong. So this is the way he is in the Old Testament. You doing stuff ignorantly, Moses said, I ain't gonna kill you for that. I ain't going to cut you off for that because you did it ignorantly. I'm not an unrighteous God. I'm not unfair. You doing something ignorantly, and it's sin, but I'm not going to kill you for it because you did it ignorantly. You confess it, turn away from it, repent, go get your sacrifice and bring, and the priest can make atonement for you, and it shall be forgiven you. But if you know it's wrong, the Most High don't play that. Never has. Okay, now we're going to come into the New Testament and see does that change up under Christ. So understand, as long as you're doing something ignorantly and you say you belong to the Most High, he says, okay, the day you learn that it's sin, turn away from it. Confess and turn away from it and don't do it anymore. And I am true and just to forgive you. This is Old Testament. So when we read that verse in the New Testament, if we confess our sins, he is true and just to forgive us. If we confessed it and it was ignorant, he has always been true and just to forgive us. But not if it's willful. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. Go get it out of the New Testament. Remember, Messiah died for your sins that are past, okay? The day you come to him, you accept him as your Lord and Savior, you confess your sins, you repent, you go get baptized, you come out of that water, you're a new creation, you're clean, without sin. That does not address your future sin. Doesn't address that. And people want to make those verses apply to everything, but it doesn't address that. So the book of Hebrews chapter 10, and when we have this, we'll say amen.
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 All right. Thank you. Amen for everyone. Let's go down. We're going to just read a couple of verses. Drop out of verse 26. Now, remember in Numbers, the Most High was talking about ignorant sin. Sin that you didn't know it was wrong. And if you did it in ignorance, he allowed you to make atonement for it. Okay. But then he also says that if the man that sins what? Presumptuously, his sin will not be forgiven him. This is the man that sins willfully, knows that it's wrong. Okay. Now, you've come to Messiah. Bring it up to date. You come to Messiah. You accepted him as your Lord and Savior. You have repented of your sin, but there's still some things you don't know about, some things that you're not aware of, about his laws, his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and you find out that you were breaking one of those. Then you can go to him and confess your sin, and he is true and just to forgive it because you did it in ignorance. That verse doesn't just apply to everything. That's why I say people read those verses and take them out of context, because the Most High doesn't change. So let's read what he does if you sin willfully. We could change this word in this verse from willfully to presumptuously. And you would be reading the same thing you just read in Numbers. But we're going to leave it as it is. Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 26. For if we sin willfully or presumptuously, if we sin knowing that it's wrong, after we have received the knowledge of the truth. So once you know the truth and you come to Messiah and you have confessed your sins, you have accepted him as your Lord and Savior or as your master and your Savior, your Redeemer. You got baptized. All your sins were forgiven. Now here comes this sweet young honey that is looking so good. You ain't married to her. She's wearing this skin-tight outfit, and your eyeballs didn't stop working. And you let the flesh take over. And you sleep with her. You knew what you were doing, and you knew it was wrong. So it says, if you sin willfully, after you have come, received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Just like he couldn't bring that thing to the Most High in Torah, in the Old Testament, you can't bring it to Messiah in the New. Why? Because you know it was wrong. You knew it was wrong when you did it. And you willfully did it. He said, there remains no more sacrifice for sin, for that sin, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. When we willfully sin and we know that it's wrong, and we say we are in Messiah, we make ourselves his adversary. We make ourselves his enemy. I came and died on that cross for you and paid the price for all your sin, gave you a clean record, and you're going to go back and jump back into sin willfully? Really? He said, that ain't under the blood. That's not out of ignorance. That's you being willfully disobedient. And they want to blame it on your flesh. He said, so you're going to let your flesh get you sent. Let's see where he's going to send you to.
Okay.
But a certain fearful looking forward of judgment of fiery indignation. That fiery indignation is the lake of fire.
Hallelujah.
It's the lake. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You're going to spit on what I did? You going to disrespect me like that? You're not going to even not try to sin? You know this is wrong? And you say you belong to me? So what I did for nothing. Because you just went back and just jumped willfully back into the debt that I just paid off for you. So let's keep going. Because he's going to bring it back to the law. Okay? That's why I say a lot of people don't like to read the law. But the law is the foundation of everything. The foundation of the old and the new. The Most High says, I'm Elohim and I change not. I made a way for you to get out of sin. And you're going to turn right back around and willfully go back into it and think that it's okay with me? All you got to do is say I'm sorry? You couldn't do that in Torah. I have never been that way. That is what men have taught. That's not what his word says. So verse 27. But a certain fearful looking forward for a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy. And the Most High said, don't have mercy. If they do something worthy of death, you ain't supposed to have mercy on them. Because if they willfully sinned, he said, you're supposed to kill them without mercy. Don't you have mercy on them? Oh, the Most High is merciful. Not like that, he ain't. And has never been. He says, I'm going to dispense mercy, and I'm going to give you mercy, and I'm making a space for it. Now that you know right from wrong, now that you've come into the understanding of the truth, under Moses' law, without mercy, two or three witnesses, how much more sore, how much more worse the punishment? Now, what's worse than death?
Lake of fire.
The lake of fire. Because you're alive. You're burning and you can't die. But you can feel that fire. He says, you deserve something worse than death. That's the lake of fire. And when you die, you just dead. You don't feel nothing. You don't think nothing. You don't know nothing. He says, now let me resurrect you, give you eternal life, and then throw you in that lake of fire. You can't die. You're eternal. You can feel this flame on you because this flame was designed for Satan and his angels, spiritual beings. They're not subject to normal fire. This is a special fire that torments spiritual beings. Some will make you a spiritual being and then throw you in there. Okay. He that despises Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Most I said, don't have mercy on them if they transgress my law. If your son of your daughter or your daughter cusses you as a parent under Torah, the Most High says you were supposed to kill them without what? Mercy.
Mercy.
Okay? This is what the people wouldn't do. How much more sore the punishment do you suppose? Suppose you shall be, he thought, worthy. What punishment do you think is the person that does this? Worthy who has trodden underfoot the son of Elohim and has counted the blood of the covenant. His covenant is important, and the Most I don't like when we break his covenants. And has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and has done despite unto the spirit of grace. He said, that's a question. How much more worse you think the punishment you deserve if you willfully sin after you've come into the knowledge of the truth? Well, you know, I'm just a man. Most High says so. My flesh, it gets the better of me. Your flesh gonna get you sent to the lake because you won't bring it under control. He has never, ever condoned willful sin. Never, ever condoned it. Never, ever forgiven for it. Now he says, what if you're guilty of that? Then you need to confess that. I'm guilty. I'm guilty, Most High. I was taught that, and I thought this. But I see now that I can't do this stuff like that. And I can't just bring anything to you and confess it and say, please forgive me. Because you said that if it's willful, that sin is to remain upon me. That's Torah. That is New Testament. He didn't change. He says, matter of fact, it's worse for you in the New Testament because of who the blood that you're sinning against. And the Torah, you were sinning up under the blood of bulls and goats. He said, but now you're sinning up under the blood of Messiah.
Teach, bro.
Are greater than those bulls and goats, are greater than the temple. You sin it against the creator of the blood of the creator of the world. The creator of the universe. He says, so what worse, how much worse punishment do you think you deserve? Since you're going to despise me like that. Since you want to believe that you're only human. I'm telling you to be perfect, for I am perfect, and I'm not telling you to do something that you can't be. And if you choose to do otherwise, then you choose to accept the consequences of your actions. So the church has been teaching people forever. Well, you know, all you got to do is confess your sin, and he is true and just to forgive you if you did it ignorantly. So you came to Messiah. You didn't know anything about his dietary laws. You didn't know anything about his cleanliness laws. You knew that, hey, I was a fornicator, and I lied, and I stole, and I cheated. You knew these things, but you didn't know his complete law. And so as you learned it, then you were supposed to do what? And if you, as you learned it and saw that you were doing it, you could confess it. Most High didn't know that it was wrong to do that. I confess that I was wrong. And I'm going to repent and turn away from it and not do it again. He says, then I'm true and just to forgive you for it, just like I always have been. I didn't change. But if you understand who I am and what I did for you, and then you're going to turn around and willfully do wrong? Uh-uh. I ain't the one you're messing with. I'm not the one. In the church, these pastors, they're teaching people untruths. They're teaching them half-truths. They're teaching them scripture out of context. I know preachers that teach the New Testament have never read the Old Testament. Don't know how the Most High is. And that he changes not. And they want to walk simply in the New Testament. And so they read those verses, and it sounds like that's what it's saying. But that's not what it's saying. So understand this. Messiah came and died for your sins that are past. Your past sins when you came to him. He didn't die for your future sins. Because if he died for your future sins, then there's no reason to say if you sin willfully after you come into the knowledge of the truth, your future sin would be covered in that. Willful or unwillful. Ignorant or willfully, it would be covered. It's not. If you sin after that, you come into the knowledge of the truth. After you come into Messiah, you know, Messiah. I know that Messiah, I believe he came. He died for my sin. I go to him, I confess my sins. All of my sins that I did willfully and ignorant. One time, you get a one-time pass. I'm going to forgive all your sins because these are all your sins that are past. So I don't care whether it was willful or ignorant. It's in the past. You've come to me now. You know who I am. You recognize what I've done. You are not ignorant of me. Go and sin no more. And then you find yourself willfully sinning. Then he says, you can't bring that to me. But what you didn't know, or you didn't know you're supposed to keep the dietary laws, the day you learn about it, you repent and say, oh, I'm going to keep these from now on. I don't want to transgress your law. I don't want to break your laws. So I'm going to keep those. Oh, I didn't know I was supposed to keep Sabbath. I didn't know that this day was supposed to be kept forever and that mankind doesn't have the authority to change it. And I've been keeping Sunday, but I haven't been keeping Sabbath. I've been going to church every Sunday, keeping it faithfully, singing the choir. I'm a deacon. But on Saturday, I'm watching the football games. I'm washing my car. I'm cutting the grass in the yard. I'm going to work. I'm doing all these things he said I could not do. That day is supposed to be dedicated to him and honor him. He says, you're supposed to do that perpetually, forever. So you learn that you're supposed to do it. Okay, Most High, I repent. You know, they told me that I was supposed to worship on the first day. And all my life, I've worshiped on the first day. But now I know better. So I'm going to honor you in your day, as you have said. And I'm going to keep it holy. I repent of it. I turn away from it. Because you can confess those things because you did them out of what? Ignorance. You didn't know. And he is true and just to forgive you. But Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 through 29 says, hey, if you willfully disobey me If you willfully transgress my law, you know that it's wrong and you're going to do it anyway. There ain't no blood for that. Don't even come to me with that. Because you knew you were doing wrong when you decided to do it. So don't be telling me how sorry you are. Because I don't play that. Never have played that. And if some man told you I played that, you need to go back and slap him. Just the truth. Because he's sending you to the lake. So, no, we are not covered from birth. And once we know the truth, we have to obey him. We don't get to just walk in free. We don't get to just walk in because we want to kind of believe in him. He says, if you don't serve me with your whole heart, you can't get in. If you love anything more than me, mother, brother, sister, uncle, aunt, wife, husband, yourself, you can't get in. You're not worthy of me. So what the church is taught and given the understanding of is not in the scriptures. They're taking verses and cherry picking and making doctrines that go against the word of the Most High because they're teaching them without context and without understanding. And so it looks like that if you read that scripture on its own, if you confess your sins, I am true and just to forgive you your sins. That's what it says. But it's out of context. You got to have line upon line and what? Precept upon precept. Here a little and there a little. So you got to go back to the old to understand the new. You got to go back to the old to see how the Most High operates, to know how he's going to operate in the future. He said, I don't change. I ain't going to change my modus operandi. I'm not going to make you the exception either. Everybody wants to be David. When most likely everybody's going to be Esau. Esau repented. Repented that he gave away his birthright. Started with tears. Most High. I didn't know. Yeah, Jacob got everything. And I ain't got nothing. Most High said so. You didn't value what you had. And I'm not going to repent and give it back to you. I'm not going to forgive you either. And everybody wants to fall up under David. When the Most High says, all through this word, just the opposite. He says, now, here's the difference. You've come into the knowledge. You know the truth. You realize that you've been doing wrong and you've done something that is worthy of the lake of fire. And you say, I just didn't know. I knew these things were wrong, but I didn't really know. I didn't understand. I really didn't understand the gravity of the situation. I didn't know how serious it was. It wasn't taught to me like that. And you repent. Then the only thing that you can do is wait and see whether he's going to have mercy on you or not, because you don't know. You got to wait before you go till you go before the throne. Live your life the way that he said live it until the day that you die and serve him with your whole heart. And he might repent and say, you know what? I choose not to impute your sins against you. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. Because we deserve death. I fall into that category too, brother. So don't think that I'm trying to make myself, put myself up on a pedestal and say, no, I never did this because I did it and the Most I had to show me. You want to teach my word? You got to walk in my ways. You got to understand my ways. And you are guilty. Brother Miles, And the only thing I could do was say, yes, Lord, I repent. I turn away. I will not willfully sin from this point on. And I will serve you with my whole heart until the day that I die. And if you choose to send me to the lake, it is your choice because you are Elohim. And you do what you want to do. And if you said my repentance was not good enough, I'm going to worship you in the lake in all that pain.
Hallelujah, bro.
Amen.
Because I did it to myself. I can't charge him because he kept his words. I can't say, well, Most High, that's unfair. Because somebody taught me wrong and I didn't study to show myself approved. I didn't go before the Most High seeking him out to see, Most High, where do I stand with you? Oh, snap, I'm in trouble. So the church has taught a lot of falsehoods and they've given men a lot of false hope that is not in this word. He's not playing. We've been playing. He hasn't changed. The scriptures are consistent from beginning to end. So I pray that answered your question. I could give you some other verses, other examples in the scriptures for you to go by. But the truth of the matter is, once you know the truth, you got to do the truth.
Hmm.
And the Most High is not taking any excuses. He's not letting us off because, you know, we're us and we wanted something when we were younger and we did it. And then now we're older and we want to say, well, Most High, you know, I need for you to forgive me. You need to obey him. Need to come into line with him and not expect him to come in line with you. And pray that he has mercy. Because he don't have to have mercy. He gives us the example in Romans chapter 8 with Pharaoh and Moses. He says, Pharaoh wanted to let the people go. I told Moses before I sent him in there, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart. So that I can judge him. And so that I can judge Egypt. Because I have already determined that I'm going to destroy them. So even if Pharaoh tries to do right, I ain't going to let him. Now, who are you? You going to judge me, the Most High? This is what he says. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And on whom I will judge, I will harden, I will harden. I am Elohim. I create good and I create evil. I do all these things. I'm your maker. How you gonna question me? How you gonna tell me what's right and what's wrong when I'm the one that told you what's right and what's wrong? So he's not playing, and he never has been playing. It's been us. It's been men. And it's not that it's not written, because it is written. We just read it. So it's not what Brother Miles said. Brother Miles just reads the scriptures and believes what he reads.
Hey, bro.
And he's given it to me to teach it. And whosoever will. Let them hear what the Spirit of the Most High says. It's not my job to really convince anybody of anything because I ain't got a heaven or a hell to put nobody in. My job is to do what he assigned me to do, to teach this word. Tell my people the truth. Because they're on that wide road. They're not on that narrow road. They're on that short, wide road to the lake. So I pray that I answered your question. If not, your I forgot whether you her or her nephew or her I forgot what your relationship is.
My nephew.
Sister, but your nephew.
Nephew.
She has my number and she can give it to you and you are free to call me anytime.
Okay.
All right.
Understood. Yes, sir.
All right. Amen. Because as I said, I don't care who's right. I just want to know what's right. Help me get into the kingdom. Help me serve the Most High the correct way, the way that he says. You're not going to ever hear. If I give you an opinion, I'm going to tell you it's my opinion. But when it comes to the Most High and what he says, it is what is written. Because if I give you anything other than what is written, you can't stand on that. But you can stand on what's written. And it will make you free. So we don't want to walk in opposition to the Most High. We want to obey his voice. We want to first fear him. And I know the people who listen to me, I know that probably at one time they got tired of me talking about fear the Most High.
No.
That's the first thing he wants is for us to fear him. Because if we don't fear him,
yeah.
We won't do what he says to do.
Yeah.
Amen.
If we're not fear of the consequences, we won't do what he says to do because all I got to do is confess it and he's true and just to forgive me.
Hmm.
But people are taking those verses out of context. Trust me. They're taking them out of context. And they're not taking them, with what the Most High says of himself and not what he says in his word. And when we come into the New Testament, it does not change. Everybody think Messiah was this get out of jail free card forever. So Messiah said, I'm going to bail you behind out one time. And I'm going to pay up all your past debts. I'm going to pay all your fines. You got it? You don't got no money on your books? Why, yeah, I'm going to put some money on your books, and I'm going to get you out, and I'm going to pay for all your debt. And when you come out, you ain't got to go to trial. They expunge your record. It's as though it never even happened. You are a new creature. One time, not forever, one time. Now, go and sin no more, like he told the woman. Go and sin no more. Not go and if you sin, you have an advocate. You got an advocate. We all have sinned. And you got an advocate with the Father if you sin ignorantly. Messiah is not going to advocate for you if you willfully sin. Wait a minute, you willfully got yourself into trouble and you want me to go to the Father and beg for your forgiveness? So I'm not advocating for that. I'm not going to advocate for that. I'm going to advocate for you if you did it ignorantly. Father, well, he just didn't know. But he knows now. And he's repenting and he's turned away from it. Forgive him his sin. Throw it into the sea of forgetfulness because he did it in ignorance. But he tells us clearly, I can't overstate this, clearly, if it's willful, that don't apply. I'm not advocating for you if you willfully sin. There ain't no blood for that for me to advocate with. So the church has gotten people twisted. They've gotten the Most High twisted and gotten people twisted by teaching them half-truths. The question is, and this is what I'm going to say to you, my brother, if you hear the truth and you know that it's the truth and you choose to reject it, then the Most High will cause you to believe that. He'll cause you to believe what you chose to believe. And won't nobody be able to convince you otherwise. Because the Most High has caused it. You want to believe a lie? I'm going to let you believe a lie. You don't want to come out of your sin? You want to, you know, have an excuse to continue to walk in it? I'm going to let you believe that you can do that. And I'm still going to judge you the same. I'm still going to send you to the lake. Because you chose to do it. And I caused you now to do it. Because now I'm saying, in your heart, you really don't want to serve me. In your heart, you really don't want the truth. You'd rather believe a lie than the truth. So I'm just going to say, go take it before the Most High. Read those verses and those scriptures for yourself. Go back, you know, in the Numbers and go back into Deuteronomy, because there's another place that is covered, ignorant sins. And he gives you all kinds of examples
that Deuteronomy
of what he
what?
Considers ignorant and what he considers intentional. Yes, ma'am.
Deuteronomy what chapter?
19.
19, okay.
So let's go to it real quick, because we have spent all this time on this. Let's go to it real quick, Deuteronomy 19. And when you have it, you say amen.
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 Amen. All right, Deuteronomy 19, starting in verse 1. When Yah thy Elohim has cut off the nations, whose land Yah thy Elohim giveth thee, and thou succeedest them, and dwelleth in their cities and in their houses, thou shalt separate three cities for thee in the midst of the land, which Yah thy Elohim giveth unto thee to possess it. Thou shalt prepare thee a way and divide the coast of the land, of thy land, which Yah thy Elohim giveth thee, to inherit into three parts, that every slayer, slayer is somebody that's killed somebody. Now, this, you know, if you kill somebody, whether it is intentionally or unintentionally, you're still a slayer. It's just what was the intent of your heart when you did it, okay? That every slayer may flee there. And this is the case of the slayer, which shall flee there, that he may live. Whoso killeth his neighbor intentionally.
Ignorantly.
The Most High is always about what's the intent. So you didn't lay in wait for him. This and ignorantly means by accident. That kills his neighbor ignorantly, whom he hated not in time past. You didn't have a problem with this person. You weren't out to do them harm. You didn't have nothing against them. So he says, rather than saying innocently, he says what? Ignorantly. As when a man goes into the woods with his neighbor to hew or cut wood, and his hand fetches a stroke with an axe to cut down the tree, and the head slips from the haft or from the handle, and lights or lands upon his neighbor, that he die. So I'm in the woods, I'm cutting wood, I sling back the axe handle to bring it down, I sling it back, the head comes off, you're in back of me somewhere, the head of the axe hits you in the head and kills you. Was I trying to do that?
No.
No.
Wasn't trying to do that. It wasn't intentional. Okay, this is what the Most High is talking about. And light is upon his head that he die. He shall flee unto one of those cities and live. Why shall he flee? Because I have shed innocent blood, and your brother, your relative, whomever, may not know that and want to kill me. So I need to have someplace I can go. Because your whole family might be after me. Oh, no. Uh-uh. That wasn't no accident. So he gives them a place to flee. Verse 6. Least the avenger of blood. That could be anybody that could be his wife. That could be his sister. It could be his brother. It could be his father, his uncle, a good friend. They can be the avenger of blood. Pursue the slayer while his heart is hot, while he's mad, and overtake him, because the way is long, and slay him, whereas he was not worthy of death, inasmuch as he hated him not in times past. So he said, this is a complete accident. He did it ignorantly. He did it not intentionally. He's not worthy of death. Wherefore I command you, saying, thou shalt separate three cities for thee. And if Yah thy Elohim enlarge thy coast, as he has sworn unto thy fathers, and give thee all the land which he promised to give unto thy fathers, if thou shalt keep all these commandments to do them, which I command thee this day, to love Yah thy Elohim and to walk in it, and to walk ever in his way, then shalt thou add three more cities besides these three, that innocent blood be not shed in thy land, which Yah thy Elohim giveth thee for an inheritance, so that blood be upon thee.
Yeah.
So he's telling them, anytime blood is shed, and I'm going to read this so you can understand that even that person that fled into one of those cities, even if he is innocent and not worthy of death, he still got to do what the Most High said to do. He can't leave that city. And as long as he's in that city, the elders are supposed to protect him because he wasn't worthy of death. But if he leaves that city and the avenger of blood kills him, the avenger of blood is not guilty either. And that blood, the payment for that blood that was shed, the only persons whose blood can pay for that blood that was shed is the person who shed the blood. So if I kill you, the only thing that can pay for that blood, your blood, is my blood. I have to die, innocent or guilty. This is the word of the Most High. This is his law. So let's read it. That innocent blood be not shed in thy land, which Yah thy Elohim giveth thee unto an inheritance, so the blood be upon thee. But if any man hate his brother, hate his neighbor, and lie in wait for him, and raise up against him, and smite him mortally that he die, and flees into one of these cities, then the elders of that city shall send and fetch him there, and deliver him into the hand of the avenger of blood, that he may die. This person, it was shown that they did this intentionally. They plotted and schemed. They hid. They know, oh, Brother Miles walks on this path every day. I'm going to get him. And then they kill me. The Most High said they are worthy of death. And the elders of those cities that were the safe house cities, when they find out that whoever killed me is guilty, they're supposed to deliver me to who? The avenger of blood. That person may be put to death. So they knowingly did what they did. Two different the same principle, right? One did it in ignorance. One did it what? Willfully. The Most High doesn't change his modus operandi. He says, thine eye shall not pity him. Remember he said, and we read it in Hebrews, under the law of Moses, they died by two or three witnesses, and that you were not supposed to have without mercy. He's telling you right here, thine eye shall not pity him, but thou shalt put away the guilt of innocent blood from Israel, that it may go well with you. Thou shalt not remove thy neighbor's landmark. So it goes into another thing. Let's drop down to verse 15. One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin. If any sin that he sinned, at the mouth of how many witnesses?
Two or three.
Just two witnesses. At the mouth of three witnesses, two or three, shall the matter be established. Established. So I can't come and say, Brother so-and-so did X, and I was the only one that saw it. Most High says, you can't bring that matter. Your sole testimony alone is not enough. Because if it's true, if it's established, the penalty is death. So we're not going to kill nobody at the voice of one person. I could get mad at you and say, I saw Sister Denise coming out so-and-so's house, pulling up her drawers.
Shame on you, Lee.
And I was the only one that saw it. And everybody takes my word for it, and up under the law, it's going to be assumed that she was doing something she wasn't supposed to do. And then they kill her based upon my word. And I was the only witness. He said, uh-uh. Got to be how many?
Two or three.
Because the penalty for everything is death.
Man.
You transgress. As I said, when we did a review, excuse me, when we did a review of the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, and we looked for what the Most High said, this is what you do, this is what you don't do, and he said, these are my judgments. These are the penalties if you transgress. There were only two things that we found that the penalty wasn't death. That's if a woman was in the woods, the man would die, but she was not guilty. She didn't die. And I can't even remember the other one right now off the top of my head. But it was only two that we found. Everything else, if you transgress this law, the penalty is death. So he says, if you're going to establish it, it's got to be established by the witness of two or three witnesses, not one. One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity. Got to be two or three witnesses. So that's why when they brought the woman that they accused of adultery to Messiah, they didn't bring the man that she was accused of. You know, we caught her in the very act. Excuse me. But they didn't bring the man. Hold on. They didn't bring the man that she was accused with. So Messiah says, y'all trying to trick me. Y'all trying to, be deceitful. So he says, let me do this. Whichever one of you is without sin. He didn't say what sin. Whichever one of you is without sin, you throw the first stone. Well, all have sinned. They walked away. When it was left, it was only her and Messiah, one witness. Could Messiah accuse her up under the law?
Nope.
Because he said, by one witness, you shall not do it. So where are your accusers at? I need two or three witnesses. There ain't two or three witnesses here. I can't condemn you up under the law. But he knew she was guilty because he said what?
Go and sin no more.
Sin no more. If she hadn't sinned, he wouldn't have to say go and sin no more. I know you're guilty, but I can't accuse you. By the law, I can't accuse you. There are no accusers here. There's only me now. He says, and I accuse you not. Neither do I accuse you. I would be breaking the law. I would be sinning if I accused you. I'm the only witness left. So people think that he just let her off. No, he followed the law. Or else he would have been a sinner. He would have transgressed. So let us understand. Let us bow our heads as we're after the hour. And we didn't conduct any business on this day. But we did. I'll consider it business testifying to this young man, going through the scriptures with him. All right, let's bow our heads. Father Yah, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We thank you for life and health and strength today. Father Yah, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of it. We thank you for always being solid. in your word, Father. There is no turning in you of darkness. Father, you said, if we but seek you with our whole heart, if we first seek the kingdom, that you would reveal all things to us. You would allow us to worship you in spirit and in truth. You would be our Elohim and we will be your people if we will obey your voice, if we will serve you with our whole heart. Father, we desire to serve you with our whole heart, to walk in your ways, to obey your voice. Help us. Don't give us a mind of a reprobate. But give us a mind that we should serve you and to worship you in all that you have said, in all that you have had written, in all that you reveal to us. That we would know to fear you and to keep your commandments, and to walk in your ways with our whole heart. Help us, Father. Open our eyes. Open our hearts. If we are guilty, let us confess that we are guilty and repent and to turn away from it and to walk after you the rest of our days. And we pray, Father, that you are merciful and that you will not impute our sins against us. You are the great I am. You are the creator of the universe, of everything seen and unseen. There is none like you, O Yah. There is none like you. And you have said in your own word, Father, you do not change. So we can count upon you. We can know that your word is true. Now we can stand upon it and know that it's going to come to pass. And that you will judge righteously, however you see fit. That is your realm. We just seek to obey you and enter into your kingdom in peace, Father, because we do not want to see you in your wrath. So, Father, for each and every person, give them a heart to obey, eyes that they might see and ears that they might hear and that they might understand. And that they might see you for who you are. And worship you with their whole heart. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
All right. I make a motion that we call this meeting that we close this meeting for this session. Can I have a second?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say nay. The ayes have it. This meeting, this business meeting of Yah's Global Kingdom is officially closed at this point. On tomorrow, Sabbath, the Sabbath lesson, we have been in discipleship. We're going to continue in discipleship, what it means to be a disciple of Messiah. We have talked about how, you know, what a disciple is and what he requires, and what he's saying that, you know, as his church, as his body, what our responsibilities are in that walk. And so we're going to continue in that until we finish it, because serving the Most High and being his disciple, he tells us, you know, first we got to do it with our whole heart. We got to desire the kingdom first. Then we got to do it with our whole heart. We have to pour all that we are into it. And that we have to cannot love anybody or anything more than we love him. And if we love anybody or anything more than we love him, then we are not worthy of him. We cannot be his disciple. And so then he goes about to tell us what our duties are and what have you. And so we want to worship him in spirit and in truth. You can't do what you don't know. But once you know it, you're required to do it. You're responsible. And so we want to, you know, if we say we love him, then we want to do what he says to do. We want to enter into his kingdom, and we want to be good kingdom citizens, not waiting for his kingdom to come, because it's already here.
Amen.
It's within us. And so we must do what he said to do. We can't read this and then don't do it and then say, but nobody else was doing it. You know, could you imagine the look he give you? You knew to do it, but you wouldn't do it because nobody else was doing it? Somebody go cut them in half. See how they like that. Because, see, people don't think he's going to do that stuff, but that's what he says he's going to do. So he's not playing. He's not, you know, this is not something to joke about. It's not something to take half seriously. It's something that you need to put, that you need to take seriously.
Brother Malcolm.
Miles.
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me? I want to say thank you for maturing me than, you know,
amen.
Than what I was.
Okay? Amen.
Amen. To Yah be the glory. To Yah be the glory.
And
I'm glad that he allowed you to see it.
Yes, sir. So, you know, and that's what I needed. Well, I needed that today.
Amen. To Yah be the glory. Let's give the Most High a hand clap of praise for that. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because, you know, the Most High didn't have to let you see it.
I'm going to keep reading my Bible. I'm going to keep reading my Bible because that is the key.
Amen. We must read it. We must study to show ourselves approved. And not only just read it, but what? Not just be hearers or doers of hearers of the word, but be doers of the word.
Amen.
Doers.
Doers of it. So as you learn and know it, you need to do it.
Amen.
Amen.
Got to be doers of the word. Now, it can't just be a hearer of it, but must be doers of it. So we strive to do. You know, and a lot of people, I just say, you know, they think that I'm hard. They think that I'm harsh. But we are in trouble as a people.
Hallelujah.
And we've been playing games forever. And the time for game playing is over. The Most High is not long to return. But even if it was another 1,000 years, that doesn't give us the excuse not to do what he said to do.
Said, brother, said.
Amen.
So whether it's 1 year or 1,000 years from now, my job and your job is to do what he said to do, obey his voice.
Mm-hmm.
And not take him for granted and not think that he's some type of fool. You can just do whatever you want to do, and I'm just going to forgive you. He said, you can believe that if you want. But I will not be, what does he say? I will not be mocked. So you can say you're getting away with all this stuff. He said, but what I've already told you, I done told you. So if you don't take it seriously, then just wait till you see me, see what happens.
Amen.
So, you know, he's serious. He has always been serious. So to Yah be the glory. I'm not going to take any credit for that. I thank him for allowing me to see it to be able to tell you. Period.
Thank him too.
But he gets all the glory and the honor and the praise. I'm just doing what he told me to do. All right. So we will meet on tomorrow. We will continue in discipleship, and we will continue in, you know, in learning of how the Most High expects for us to walk. It's one thing saying it, you know, it's another thing doing it. It's, you know, and the last thing I want to mention that, you know, we've already talked about, you got to consider the cost. Messiah said you got to consider the cost when it comes to serving him. You got to understand what you're getting into and consider the cost. What is it going to take me to do this? What do I have to stop? What do I have to start doing? What do I have to stop doing? Then decide to serve me, because I require y'all. You can't come here and halfway serve me. You can't come here and halfway do anything with me. I gave you my all. I expect your all from you. So this is who we serve. And he's not playing.
Amen.
So, to Yah be the glory. May the Most High bless you. May he bless you in your coming in and your going out. May he bless you and keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. But I cannot love you like the Most High loves you.
Amen.
Shalom, family.
Shalom, brother.
Oops.
Never.